Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly God is great and greatly to be praised. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful just to be on the broadcast today. I've been out for 2 weeks, and so I was out trying to get some things together and to study, because I tell you, I've been going back to back to back for some time, and I didn't really take a break during the holiday, so I'm back and ready to finish teaching on prayer, because we're still talking about prayer, and we're talking about praying in the spirit. But I thought, you know, when I started teaching that a couple of weeks ago, that I might need to, because I got to remember my audience that I'm trying to reach, and those that are newly saved, or those that are not saved. And of course, I have people that listen in that are already saved. And so, you know, for us, sometimes it's a refresher, or it is a, you know, just a reminder of things. But for those that are not saved and those that are newly saved, you know, this is maybe the first time they've ever heard it, such a you know, this teaching. And so what I want to make sure that I do is teach it from that perspective. And so when I started teaching about praying on the Spirit a couple of weeks ago, I said, well, I might need to go back and just talk about the Holy Spirit first and then go into praying in the Spirit, because people are probably thinking if they don't know, then they're like, okay, well, what is that? You know, so we want to make sure that we go in order so that people have a clear understanding. Those that are already saved already know. And so this is sometimes just a refresher for us, but for somebody that's not saved, it is a first time, or somebody that has not been in church. They might, you know the Lord, but not been really in church and under good teaching, that, you know, this might be something new for them. So that's how we're going to approach it today. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to take this gum out of my mouth because, you know, I've always been a gum chewer. Those that know me know I've always got gum. You know, we was in the choir stand, we was coming up in church. Church, you know, they would look to me and say, you got any gum. I always deliver. Anyway, so that's just a little joke. But anyway, I thank God for just this opportunity to be on the broadcast and to continue on the teaching. In a couple of weeks, I think I have one more week I'm going to teach on prayer, and then we're going to go to the next topic, because our theme is building a better relationship with God. And so we've had several topics. I think we started out this series talking about seeking God, and we went from seeking God to hearing God's voice, and then we talked about consecration. We talked about watching what you be careful about what you say, you know, working on that tongue. We talked about that, and we talked about fasting, and we talked about prayer, and we've talked about, and now we're talking about prayer, but we talked about the renewing of the mind. And awesome teachings, all of those, Elder Dodson and Elder Timberlake, they did some awesome teachings on various topics throughout this series. And then I've taught several on this series. And so I'm just excited about that. And so in the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear from Elder Timberlake again. So you'll probably see my face, but you'll hear her voice, because she said she's not coming on Facebook Live on the Facebook. She don't want her face on Facebook. But anyway, she don't mind teaching on Facebook. And so we're going to get it. We're going to do it that way, because of what she has to say. From her prior teachings, it's been awesome, and so I want her to be able to talk about humility, because that's our next topic coming up in this series, is about humility. So I'm so excited about all of that, and just excited about all the things that God is doing. You know, I always got to talk about my church. I'm telling you, we had a word on this morning like I know all of you all did in your various churches, and your various pastors and leaders were teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, my pastor, I'm telling you. And, you know, I don't even try to do it no justice. I just give you this word of encouragement. You know, go out there on the pottershouse.org and listen to the replay and just hear it. I'm telling you, we had an awesome service. Jesus came. I mean, he came in the room, as they say. I got a friend of mine. She's over here. She said, honey, the king came in the room. And so we were just so excited about that, just the level and the place that the Lord is taking us through his teaching. He's teaching on the Tabernacle of David, and he taught back in July, August last year, he taught on the Gospel Hidden in the Tent. He talked about the Tabernacle of Moses. And I'm telling you, for all you Bible scholars and you preachers and you teachers and want some good library stuff, put in your library to, you know, to kind of study on, that's really good material. is really, really good. And so it was such a blessing today. And the topic today was thirst collision, I think is what it was. Yeah, thirst collision. And he came from John, the fourth chapter, where it talks about the woman at the well and all those things. Anyway, and of course, I don't try to do it no justice. You have to go out there and listen to him. I'm telling you, it was awesome. But anyway, I know all your pastors was preaching awesome sermons today, and was a blessing. And I'd always encourage people to talk about your pastor, what he's teaching, because, I mean, it's a good word. And you want people to be able to get something that's going to help them. And so that's why I talk about what my pastor preaching. I want y'all to talk about what y'all pastor preaching. But today we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. And we did a teaching on that. I want to talk about that. I got several teachings. We've been doing this for a while. And so it's several teachings, and so what I think I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to start putting those teachings out there, because I really have 2 hours a day from Monday through Sunday to use on this broadcast, and so I'm going to start utilizing it to the fullest. And so we have a salvation series, which probably has about 12 topics in within that salvation series, and so we're going to start playing that. Playing that salvation series, but I'm also on Friday, I'm going to put that renewing of the mind, because Elder Timberlake, like I said, is the next one that's going to be teaching, and I really want you to hear, if you have time to, you know, go out there, you don't have nothing else to do, go out there and hear her teaching on the renewing of the mind. It's an awesome, awesome teaching. I mean, she really did, she studied and really got before the Lord about it. And so it was really awesome. And so I just want y'all to be able to hear that and stuff and hear that teaching. And then we're going to put our salvation series up. And it's a big series, so it has a lot of topics in it, because it goes through justification, sanctification, and all those types of things. But anyway, we're going to start talking about, we're going to put that up, and we'll put that up Monday through Thursday. And then on Saturday, starting March, in March on Saturday, I've been trying to, you know, ask, well, what day, to do this, because it's something in my spirit. All this stuff I'm doing is nothing new. This stuff been in my spirit for years. And I've either let procrastination or fear or whatever have you or whatever has gotten in the way. But I'm determined I'm going to do all the Lord done put in me to do, because then why keep it? You know, if he gave it to me, I'm going to throw it out there. And so we're just going to go on and do what the Lord has told us to do. So I'm starting something, and it's called Single Talk. Because, you know, I'm single. And I got a lot of single friends, and, you know, we're 50-ish. I am, anyway. And so, you know, been single, so got a lot of experience being single and a lot of things. And so we're going to talk about that, and it's called Single Talk, and it's the judgment-free zone, because we're not going to be judging anybody. We're going to be talking about some things, because I think a lot of times the saints are going through certain things, and we feel like we can't talk about them because we're saved. And because, you know, people will judge us if we do. But, you know, we gotta get this kind of stuff, got to get out. And we got to get it out of us so that we can go on to be all that God has called us to be. So we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about it from a perspective of something going on here today. Anyway, from a judgment-free zone. And so, you know, because even now you're going to judge the saints, don't call, because we're going to correct you about that. Because the Bible clearly tells us, judge ye not unless ye be judged. That's what Scripture says over in Matthew. And so, you know, that's what the Scripture says about that. And so we're going to be talking about that, but we're going to lay it on the line, and we're going to lay it on the table. First, we're going to set the standard of what God says single should be, and we're going to go from there. And then, you know, my thing is this, even when I preach and teach the gospel, when people ask me these things, even when I go to the hospitals, I go to transformation hospitals, and I teach there, and, of course, a lot of times they feel guilty about, you know, their situation and things like that. And they say, well, you know, my parents are saying I'm going to hell, so-and-so. What do you say? I don't say nothing, because that ain't my call. And first of all, my call, and this is what I tell them, I say, I am called to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is my call. And so that is what I'm doing. I'm going to give you what the Word of God says. Now, it is up to you to determine where you are in that, and then begin to align yourself with the Word of God and the standard that God has set. And so then that way it's between you and God. It ain't got nothing to do with me, because I don't have no heaven to help put you in. I'm trying to get to heaven myself. And so, you know, we trying to have eternal. Jesus gave us eternal life. We trying to stay right there. And so that's why I don't make those types of judgments. And so I tell people, I said, if here's the Word of God, if your life is not in alignment, then you got to make some adjustments in your life, and so that your life will become into an alignment with God. And so that's what I tell people. And because my assignment is to teach and preach. It is not to give, it is not to put you in heaven or in hell. That's not my assignment. That is Jesus' assignment only. That is not mine. And so those are the things, some of the things that I say when I do, you know, I got the man in his phone line in the thing. So let me make sure I got people in the right place and this on so we can make sure we're doing right. Okay. So praise the Lord, those that join me on the broadcast. Thank God for each and every one. I didn't do that because I just came in and started talking. But anyway, thank God for each and every one of you that are joining me, that are logging in, those that are calling in, those that will listen to the broadcast later, those that are joining me on Facebook Live. I thank God for each and every one of you for taking the time to be a part of this broadcast. And like I said, we're going to start doing some more things with the broadcast, like putting up some of the teachings from, you know, from our past series and things like that. And we have an awesome series about the Holy Ghost, about receiving the Holy Ghost. Bishop Allen, Bishop Edgar Allen taught that. And so, and we all kind of pitched in. But anyway, he taught that, and it's an awesome teaching. I'm going to put that up there as well because some people need to know about receiving the Holy Ghost and all of those types of things. And then we taught a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we've taught several series, and we're going to keep on doing it because this is what the Lord gave us to do, foundational teaching, and that's what we're doing. Because a lot of times, you know, so here's what it is. Anyway, let's get on to the topic. Anyway, so we're talking about praying in the Spirit. But I wanted to, I just wanted to talk some about who the Holy Spirit is and the things, that, the eight things that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would do. First of all, when we think about the Holy Spirit is that third person in the Godhead. It says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, with Holy Ghost, when I got saved, I got the Holy Ghost. I remember somebody, we had this discussion with somebody. But anyway, so it's the third person in the Godhead. And the Bible tells us over in John 14 and 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it is not, neither knoweth him, but he know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And we're going to talk about those three things that the Holy Spirit has with humanity, that he has with humanity. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But anyway, and then John 14:25-27 says, I'm going to talk real fast. I'm working on that. But anyway, that's just who I am. I talk really fast. But anyway, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then the 27th verse says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, and not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And, of course, this is Jesus talking, and he's talking before he goes to the cross and before he's ascended up to heaven. These are the things that he is telling his disciples about who's going to be coming after him, that he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Because, and so what that means is that we still got Christ with us, but he is in the Holy Spirit form. So who is the Holy Spirit? Who is it? The Holy Spirit is a real person. He's just not he is a real person. And he came to reside within Jesus Christ, within us. He came to reside within us. And then, of course, like I said, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He also refers to the Holy Spirit as a helper, that he's coming to help us. He's leading and guiding us into all truth. He's doing all these things for us. And so this is in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person equal in every way with God the Father and God the Son. He is considered to be, like I said, the third member in the Godhead. And so these are the things. And the one thing Jesus told his apostles, so this is where we come to the three things that the Holy Spirit comes to do for humanity. In one verse it says that he will be with you and that he will be in you. And then Jesus promised them that on the day of Pentecost that he would come upon them. And so we have those three things. And so we know that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If we're gonna pray in the Spirit, if we're gonna walk in the Spirit, we want to be led by the Spirit, we got to receive the Holy Ghost. And so that is another part of your being saved. You know, we get saved, and then we seek further to get that to get the Holy Ghost. And so those are one of the things we say. Does anybody on the line have anything they want to say before I go forward? Hello? Okay, we're going to go on. I don't know if they're trying to get the phone off or computer what. So anyway, so then it says in John, and so was like, oh, in John, I wanted to read this scripture also. This is the first chapter of John, no, 1 John 5, 7 through 9. It says, for there that bear record in heaven. Oh. That bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And those three agree in one. And so if I was reading, and I was reading, and it says here, this is a different translation of those particular scriptures. It says, the Spirit of God not only maintains this hope within us, but helps us in our present limitations. For example, we do not know how to pray worthily as sons of God, but His Spirit within us is actually praying for us in those anguishing and longing for when we can't find the words to pray. That's how we're praying in the Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray for us. I tell you, I've been praise the Lord, Miss Shotwell. That's my cousin. I thank God for her. And so I'm telling you that when I've been praying here lately, and I've been really praying in the Spirit, because I'm using my prayer language, and I've been praying in the Spirit, not with a whole lot of words, but just been praying in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, and I remember Bishop Jake teaching this. This was probably, I want to say this was maybe last year sometime, maybe around in November, when he was testifying about when his mother had passed and how, you know, just the things he was going through inwardly about that, and how we had one of our guest evangelists was there, Pastor Joseph Garlington, and he talks a lot about worship, and he talks a lot about those types of things, and Bishop was telling us how that he just got on his knees and he began to pray in the Spirit. And so it was spirit to spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so he was talking about how he was praying in the Spirit. And so his spirit was talking to God in the Spirit. And that's some of the things that the Holy Ghost does come to do for us when we're praying in the Spirit. It is him praying, pushing us in the Spirit. He's pushing us in the Spirit, and he's pushing us to say, and he's praying for us. He's interceding on our behalf. And so when he does that, then what is happening is he's really praying what the will of God is for us, and he's praying that to God, and I believe that God hears us. Not that I don't believe God hears us when we pray, you know, just in our audible voice, in our regular voice, but I do believe that the Lord, it's a different type of in-depth prayer that comes along when we begin to pray in the Spirit. And so those are some of the things that I was talking about when I was praying. I was talking the other week about praying in the Spirit. But let's talk about the Holy Spirit. So some of the things that Jesus taught, he said there was eight functions of the Holy Spirit. And eight functions of the Holy Spirit, said that he dwells in us. And so in John 14:17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. So those are some of the things that we're talking about there. So that's one of the attributes that Jesus talks about as with the Holy Spirit, what it will do. It will dwell in us. And then I talked about this, and I'm gonna hit this, and then I'll go on to my next. I got seven more I'm going to talk about that Jesus talked about as far as who the Holy Spirit is. But the three different relationships the Holy Spirit has with humans is that he said, okay, so we just read in 14 and 17, John 14 and 17, where he talks about that the Spirit will dwell with you and then it will be in you. But then Jesus told the disciples, he said, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. You know, all that, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So they're all God, right? You know, all three of those are God. But then God, those are three manifestations of God. So that's what we got to understand. The Holy Ghost is a manifestation of God. Jesus is a manifestation of God. And then, of course, God is God. And so we got to look at it from that perspective. So the Holy Spirit is going to first testify of Jesus. He's not going to speak outside of his own will, in his own voice. He's going to speak about Jesus. That is what he came to do. And so then it said that after the death of Jesus, Jesus appeared to the disciples when they were in a room and had shut up the doors for fear of the Jews, because the Jews was after him at that time, you know, because they wanted to silence that voice about preaching Jesus. And so, and then he breathed to them and said, and this is John 20 and 22, it said that they were all in that room, and that Jesus breathed to them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what God said to Jesus, said to them, and that's John 20 and 22, and said, this is the time when the Holy Spirit came in them. The Holy Spirit stopped dwelling with them to dwelling in them. When he breathed upon them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, that's when they received the Holy Spirit. And I know people would argue and say, well, no, that was in Acts 2 and 38, but Acts 2 and 38, we're going to read it. But anyway, but it said, but did the empowerment, the coming upon, happen at this time? No, it did not. It happened in Acts 2 and 38 when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And so then that's what we want to say, because he told them to receive the Holy Spirit at that point in John 20 and 22. And then it says, he said, but then he told them, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city of Jerusalem until you be clothed, till you be endued, that's what King James Version says, till you be endued with power from on high. And so that's Luke 24 and 49. And so that's what Jesus is saying to them. He said, and so then also he repeated it in Acts, let me go on. So the disciples went straightway to Jerusalem and went to the upper room where they stayed as they prayed, fasted, and waited for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, Acts 1, 12, and 14. After some days when they were all together in one place, the Holy Spirit came upon them. So we can read in Acts 2, 2 and 2 and 4, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we heard Jesus tell them up here in John 20 and 22, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So that's when the Holy Spirit stopped dwelling with them and started dwelling in them. So you got to understand, when Christ was with the disciples, But anyway, when Christ was with the disciples, he was the one, he had the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit in him. But the disciples had the Holy Spirit with them at that time. They were not filled with the Holy Ghost at that time. And so, but they were walking with Christ. And so Christ was, he is the Holy Spirit is in Christ, because he said, I will send you another comforter. And when he sent that comforter, he sent it in the place of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is going to talk about Jesus. He's going to speak of Jesus. And he is that third person in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And so then, so we talk about the disciples went straightway to Jerusalem. Okay, I always said that. But then we talk about them being filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And so we talked about that a little bit on the last time about praying in the Spirit. When you are among people, Paul talks about it. He said, when you're among people that don't speak in tongues, that it is better for you to speak words in your own language, that everybody around you will be edified, because unless there is an interpreter and you're speaking in tongues, then the other people have no clue as to what it is you're saying. Now, on the day of Pentecost, this was interesting, on the day of Pentecost, when the 3,000 souls got saved that day, they all heard the word of God in their own language as they were speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. The people around them that spoke other language heard the gospel through the disciples. When they were speaking in tongues, they heard the gospel because they were speaking in a language that those people understood, under various languages, and they understood it. And then that's how they came to Christ, and they were baptized. And then they said, be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit is a gift. God is willing to give that to you. It's not nothing that he's holding back. Ask him and you shall receive. That's what I believe. And if you don't understand it, ask God to give you an understanding as well. God will, sometimes we act like we're afraid to ask God to give us understanding of his word. He will give it to you. I pray, when I get ready to read the word, I always pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless the reading of thy word. Let it be hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. Give me wisdom, knowledge, understanding of thy word. That's what I always pray when I begin to study the word of God, because I want God to give me a revelation of it. I want God to give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word, and surely I want the word to be hid in my heart so that I will not sin against him. And so those are some of the things that I pray when I begin to meditate on the Word of God and when I get to study the Word of God. And so those are some of the things. But we're going back to this. So then the next thing, so those are the three things, the three relationships that the Holy Spirit has with humanity. He will be in you. He dwells with you. He dwells in you, and he will come upon you. And so those are the three things there. And then they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. I know people that's been saved for years and have the Holy Ghost, and they said, you know, they never spoke in tongues, but then they begin to ask God and begin to petition God about it, and the Lord would open up their tongue and their prayer language and begin to do that. So then when we begin to pray in our prayer language, we are praying in other tongues. We're praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is praying for us, and that's one of the wonderful things about it, through our moanings and our groanings. Sometimes we're not even speaking in tongues. We're just moaning and groaning, and because of that, He is crying out to God on our behalf. And so that's one thing, you know, I always relate, you know, sometimes there's a sound that reaches heaven. I always talk about this because I remember in the book of Exodus, I think it's Exodus 3, where the Israelites were still in bondage in Egypt, and they began to cry unto the Lord, and there was a cry was heard. And when God heard that cry, he set in motion their deliverance. He set in motion for Moses. Moses was around the burning bush around, you know what I'm saying? And all those things began to take place. And that cry that they cried unto the Lord that day, God heard them, and he began to make provision for their deliverance, for them to come out of Egypt and for them to be delivered from bondage. So, you know, there's a sound that we can make. There's a sound that we can make that reaches heaven that will cause us to begin to be able to, you know, to come out of bondage or whatever it is, those things that we are in. But Bishop talked this morning about, talked about us praising God, and then also about us worshiping God, because praise and worship are two different things. Praise, we thank God for what he's done, but worship, we praise him for who he is. And so we have to understand that we begin to praise God for who he is, and not just for what he's done. And so those are some of the things, and we do that in the Spirit, because like I said, in John the fourth chapter, it talks about God being a spirit, and said they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we do those things. And so let's continue on to talk about these attributes that Jesus talks about dealing with, as it relates to the Holy Spirit. So the first one he talked about, 4 John 14:17, he talked about him dwelling in us. And so then the next one is in number 2. He talks about, I know I got so many. He talks about us dwelling with us. And then the next thing he says in 14:26, he said, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in my name, he shall teach you all things. So you want the Holy Spirit moving in your life, because he will teach you all things. And when he talks about teaching us all things, he's talking about all things, those things that pertain to Jesus Christ. And so we got to remember that. I thought about this on the top. I really was going to talk about this at the very top of the thing. You know, we got to understand that. Well, I don't know why I keep saying that. But anyway, Jesus is the one that gave us access to God. If we think about the tabernacle of Moses, so Moses' tabernacle, there was three layers to it. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. And of course, the only person that was allowed in the holies of holies was the priest, and he was allowed in there on one day, the Day of Atonement. And so when he went in there, he had bells on and all that, and he had a string. And so they had that because in case something happened, in case he went to God the wrong way and didn't make it out of there, they could pull him back out of there. And so, but anyway, he went on our behalf. And I talked about us when I talked about praying with intercession, when I talked about intercession as the people of God and the royal priesthood. Jesus, the Paul referred to us as a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that we are still that royal priesthood, the priesthood between a holy God and a sinful nation and a sinful man. And so we are still, as the people of God and the whole that royal priesthood, we still are standing in the gap between God, a holy God, and these and people that don't know the Lord. It is our job to intercede and to pray. And we are all called to prayer. That men ought to always pray and not faint. And so we understand that everybody's called to prayer. Prayer ain't just for the mother so-and-so. Prayer ain't just for Bishop so-and-so. It's just not for certain people. Prayer is for everybody. Everybody should have a prayer. because you need a communication with God. This is your opportunity. Okay, I think I said someplace down here, prayer is a privilege. We are privileged. We have a privilege to pray, and we have that privilege because of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ went to the cross on our behalf, he died for the sins of the world. He also, when he was going through the crucifixion, and then all of a sudden when he, the veil of the temple rent. And so what that meant was that he gave us access to God so that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have that access now. We don't have to go through the priest. We don't have to go through the inner court, the outer court, all those things. We don't have to do that. And when Bishop was talking about this too, he said this. He said when David set up his tabernacle, he didn't have all those courts. He just had here was the Ark of the Covenant. And so you could go in. So that was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, or what Jesus Christ was going to do for us. So David set that tabernacle up as a type and shadow of what Jesus was. So when Jesus went to the cross for us and the veil of the temple was rent, Jesus gave us access. We just go right into God. We don't have to go through all these channels to get to God. We ain't got to kill no bullocks. We don't got Jesus was the sacrifice. He is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So he gave us access to God, to go to a holy God and begin to communicate with him through prayer and through supplication and through thanksgiving. We have that. We have that now. We can pray in the spirit. So we have that. So we got to remember, what Jesus did. We got to understand Jesus did it all. We didn't do it. Jesus did it all. What we did was we accepted Christ as our Savior. Well, that's our part. We're accepting him as our Savior. And then it is our job to live in obedience and to live according to the will of God and the word of God. And that's what it is. But I'm telling you, we cannot think that it's something that we've done on our own, because it's not. And we are saved by grace. And that's what we're saved by. It's because of the sin, because of what Jesus did. He saved us from our sin. We were sin. We were on our way to hell. But Jesus came through there, and I mean, he redeemed us back to God. And I'm so thankful for that. I said, because, so then when you think about it that way, you don't have to be worried about, well, what am I doing? What can I do? Our flesh can't do it. All the thing we can do is we can be a walk in obedience to the word of God. When we hear the word of God, line ourselves up. Like I said earlier I said my assignment is to teach and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not my assignment to judge whether you're on your way to hell or on your way to heaven. That is not my assignment. And I'm telling you, I don't cross that line. I don't tell people they're on their way to hell. I don't tell people if you're going to hell. I can't do that because I'm trying to get there myself. And so that's what we got to know. And so when I say that, we got to we can't continue to judge people. We have to have grace and we have to have mercy. Jesus talked about that when he talked about on the fifth chapter of Matthew, when he was talking about, he said, have mercy, because, we need to have mercy. You know what I'm saying? I came to be attitudes. There they are. When he was talking about the Beatitudes and the different things, he was teaching us how to do things and how to be not to be judgmental and just doing too much. Sometimes the saints do too much. But anyway, until we're in trouble, and then we want to say, oh, have mercy on me. But anyway, we all are to have mercy. Now let me keep going through here, because I can get off track and start talking about something else. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit's going to come to teach us all things. That's what he comes to do. So and so then the next thing is, because we got to know who the Holy Spirit is to us and what he's coming to do before you can even dive into praying in the Spirit, you got to know what the Holy Spirit has come to do.
And then, can you hear me?
Yes, come on.
Oh, okay. I got a different phone, so I'm trying to figure out this mute, so I'm sorry if I've been kind of in and out.
Oh,
but
that's okay.
One thing I got from you, and I think it's such a blessing, is I hope it's okay for me to interject here, that you're saying that we don't have to go to man to get to God. There are some people that feel like they have to, and this is not bashing anyone, but I want us to know we don't have to go to a man to get to God. Excuse me. You said that we have direct access to him, and that is such a blessing. To know that we have direct access. That way we go to him. If you have direct access, all the, what you're saying, you're called to preach, and it's your assignment to preach and not to judge. And I like that, because we have direct access to him ourselves. He don't judge us. Well, therefore, we get to him, we cut out some of that middleman problem, you know, because some people do judge. And if we get directly to him, you know, he will help us.
Yes, he will. And that's the reason why I believe that's the reason why he did it, because now we can pray to God and begin to talk to God about our own situation, about what we're going through, and not have to take it to this person and then they take it the way they, you know, we don't have to do all that. Yes, people do intercede. We do have intercessors and people intercede for prayer on our behalf. And when they do, and even with an intercessor, it's not the intercessor's job to take on your burden. That's not what the intercessor's job is. The intercessor is just taking what your prayer request is and taking it to God on your behalf. They're interceding just like the priest was doing. They're standing between those two people, but they are not to take on the burden of it. They're not supposed, you're not supposed to just throw the burden on them and then they sit up there and be burdened down and you free. That's not how that goes. They are only interceding in prayer. That's what they're doing, but they are not taking on the burdens of people. And so I think when we get that straight in our mind, then we really know that we got the access to God. Christ did it. He gave us access. I'm saying when that veil was rent, that means it opened up the way for us, and he told us to come on in boldly. Now, when I say boldly, you know, I always say this, that means humble. That don't mean come in with your arrogance, because that you ain't going to get nothing from God being arrogant. Coming in with arrogance and fussing and frustrating God, that ain't going to do it. You're frustrating, but you're coming in with that attitude. That attitude doesn't get anywhere with God. We still have to come in with in a humility. And when we come in humility and prayer and being sincere in our prayer, it's a heart matter. It's still a heart matter. Our heart's got to be right. And our heart's got to come in the right way. That's why, you know, God talks about David. He talks about David being a man after his own heart. David's heart was right. He had the right heart. He knew when he messed up. He didn't go talking about, well, I'm going to have to go preach and see if the priest will pray for me. David went to God. He said, Lord, I've sinned against you, and you only have I sinned. You remember, he would go to God about that, even at that time. And that was even before Christ had come. And so we got to think, but he went to God. Sometimes he'd go get the ephod, and he would pray. And sometimes he would go to the priest, but not all the times did he. He went before the Lord. So we got to understand that we have to go before God in a humble way, and we have the access to do it. Stop running around trying to get all your prayer partners together. Just talk to the Lord on your own. That's what you got to do, because then it's your heart talking about what you need to talk to the God. You ain't got to funnel through nobody else's stuff, because you don't know, they may not be in the mood for that today. You know what I'm saying? We don't know where people are. But since Jesus has given us access, let us take advantage of our privilege, because it is a privilege that God, that Christ did for us. It's not nothing we did, but it's a privilege that Christ did for us to be able to go to him and be able to pray us to God. Not nobody else, but us to God. Go ahead, Mr. Dodson.
And God, you know, some people need that connection with people, but I believe if you go to God first, then he will send someone to help you, you know, through your, God is not, he has compassion, and he knows that we're here, and we sometimes need one another, but if we put him first, then he will send the right person in to be a blessing to you and to help you get through some of the things that you go through. Am I correct about that?
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Because I'm not saying we don't need people, because we do. It's all right to have, because he said, now this is what the scripture says. He says if two and three come together and touch and agree on anything, that's what he said. So it's all right for us to have people that pray with us, but you got to have the right people praying with us. I told you, don't go get nobody bitter. Don't go get nobody still upset about this and this to pray for you, because they still need to help themselves right there at that point. I told you, if you got financial issues, don't go get nobody ain't paying their tithes and offering, because they got to get that straight. You know what I'm saying? How can they reach heaven on your behalf about your finances if their finances is not in the right place with God? So we got to understand it. And God, and I'm not judging that. That's between them and God still, because God knows what's going on. And God is just, he is righteous, and he is merciful. So even with that, he shows mercy. So don't think that, but I'm just saying, if you really need a breakthrough, then you might need to get somebody that's really in the right standing so that you can get that breakthrough that you need, somebody to touch and agree with you and really be able to touch and agree and get to heaven. I used to say, Ms. McQueen used to tell us, we got to get out here and pray so we can reach heaven, because you want to reach heaven in your prayer time. You just don't want to go to the ceiling and come back down. You want to have answered prayer. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about answered prayer, what answered prayer look like, and versus the unanswered prayer. I said there's about 650, approximately 650 prayers in the Bible. 400 of them were answered, 450 were answered, 200 was answered. So we kind of dived into that to look at the answered prayer versus those that weren't answered. And most of the ones that weren't answered was because they had an attitude problem. They had an attitude problem. They was not in the will of God. They wasn't praying the will of God. It was a lot going on. But answered prayer was those people that were in the will of God. They believed God. They had faith. Because like I told you, I think it's James. Is it James 5:15 where it talks about the prayers of the righteous avail as much. And how that they prayed for the sick. But the people that were praying had faith. The person that was being prayed for had faith. But the people that were praying had faith to believe that what they were praying for was going to come to pass. All of these things need to be working. Faith is a factor. You got to have faith if you're going to pray. You got to believe you're going to receive if you're going to pray. Otherwise, you're praying amiss. You're praying amiss. And so that's why sometimes when we go to start praying in the Spirit is praying the will of God for you. He's making those types of intercessions. So let me go back because I got to get to my 8 points. What time is it? I got 19 minutes. I got to hurry up. And so I said bring things back to remembrance. Then in number 4, John 15:26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is going to testify of Jesus Christ. He ain't going to come in his own power and might. He's going to testify of Jesus Christ. And number 5, he convicts the world, convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16:8 says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. And then in the 9th chapter, of sin because they believe not on me. And then the 10th verse, it says, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And then 16:11 says, of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. Talking about Satan. He is judged. Now, he is judged because he got put out of heaven. So, that's because of what he done. Anyway, number 6, that's why I always tell people, when the enemy is talking to you, don't listen to him. He knows he's already bound to heaven. Hell. He's on his way to hell. But you don't have to go with him. You don't have to go with him. So don't listen to him. He said, when the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. Stay with God. It's a song. I think Ricky Dillon sings that song. Stay with God. I tell my son, stay with God. Stay with God. No matter what you're going through, stay with God. No matter what's going on around you, stay with God. Because if you stay with God, he's going to work it out on your behalf. It might not look like it right now. It might not look, but I'm telling you, he's working it out on your behalf. And if you don't know nothing else to say, get you a scripture about your situation. Now, you can Google stuff nowadays. It's all out there. If you Google it, just say you need financial help. Then Google what does the Bible say about it? What does God say about my finance? And begin to pray those scriptures over your life concerning your finance. If it's healing, look at what the Bible says about healing and begin to pray healing scriptures over your life and believe what you pray. Because if you pray the word of God, his word says this, it will not return unto him void. So, when I think about that, I get excited about it. So sometimes even things I've been going through here currently, I just been giving the word. I've been just praying what the word of God. I said, Lord, you told me in your word, if I bring my tithe and offering to the storehouse, there'll be meat in my house. That his for now prove you, that's what you said, and then you said you would open up the window of heaven and pour me out a blessing I don't have room enough to receive. Give God, he said, command ye me. It's all in the scripture. And he said, give him his word back. Tell him what his word said. He knows what it said. He said it will not return unto him void. So begin to give God the word according about your situation. And then as we continue to talk about praying in the spirit, we're going to talk about some more next week because we can really get into it. But let me finish these 8 things because, I go off and I start talking about something else. Anyway, it says that the Holy Spirit will come and guide us into all truth. It says, however, just John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, this is what Jesus is saying, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So the Holy Spirit is hearing from God. He's hearing from God, and he is speaking about Jesus, what he is hearing from the head. He's hearing it, and he's speaking it to you. Then in the seventh, number seven says he tells us to come. And John 16 and 13 says, and he will show you all things to come. So he's going to show you what's coming. He's going to show you. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. You got to let him lead and guide you so he can show you the things that are coming. God said he ain't going to leave. He said, brother, I have you not ignorant. He ain't going to leave us comfortless. He's given us the Holy Spirit to take care of these things for us. So let him do his job. Let him do his job. And then the next thing it says, let me read this. Did I read this already? Yeah, I think I did. The Holy Spirit takes what is of Christ and shows us it for us. And so in John 16:14-15 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall take what is mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. It took me a minute to get that out, but I got it on out. Then the eighth thing is he glorifies Jesus. John 16:14 says, he shall glorify me. So the Holy Spirit is going to point everything back to God. He's going to lead and guide us. He's going to bring us into all truth. These are the things that he is going to do. So we got to remember what he comes to do, and then we can begin to know what the Spirit is for. Now let me read this, and then I'm going to close. We're getting to close, go to a closing. It says Romans 8:26-27, and I talked about this when I was talking about praying in the Spirit. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we are to pray for. Now we're talking about praying in the Spirit. For the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and with words they cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now, I'm telling you, that right there is a blessing, because when you start praying in the Spirit, and we're going to work through that again, because that's why I wanted to bring up what the Spirit, Holy Spirit is, according to what Jesus said. The eight things that Jesus said over in the book of John, he talked about that. But the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible in so many different formats and ways. I think I saw something where it was almost over 72 verses that talked about the Holy Spirit and the things that he was doing. Let's see if I can find it real quick. I know I got it on here somewhere. No, that's not it. I got it on here somewhere. I think it's here. Anyway, I talk about that, and I talk about I'll read that. I'll go through that next week. But anyway, I found this out there. And this is actually a book. This is actually somebody's book, but they talk about it. They got all these verses broke down. That's what I'm saying. You can find stuff if you want to find it about the scripture. You can find it, and it will help you. But it talks about a lot of attributes of the Holy Spirit and different things that the Holy Spirit has done. But when I talked about praying in the Spirit, I told you that it was three verses particularly in the Bible that talks about praying in the Spirit. Talks about praying in the Spirit, and those scriptures are 1 Corinthians 14:14-19, and then the next one is Ephesians 6:18, and it says, let me read that, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all saints. And then the third place where it is mentioned is in Jude 20:21, where it talks about, but you, dear friends, build yourself up in the most in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, in Corinthians, I don't want to touch Corinthians right now, because I want to talk about Corinthians in a couple of ways, because Corinthians, it talks about praying in the Spirit, it talks about praying in tongues, but it also talks about, you know, when you're praying in tongues and in the Spirit in the presence of people that can't understand that, what we ought to do. So I want to talk about that next week a little more, dive into that a little more when we talk about praying in the Spirit. And, of course, we're going to talk about the Acts scripture a little bit more as well. Does anybody have anything else they want to say about this particular teaching? And we can talk about that. Mr. Dawson, you have anything else you want to say or add
yes,
to it?
Yes, I wanted to add.
Mr. Dawson, come on.
I wanted to add that this is very important. This is a very important subject, and this is a very important topic, and that is when you're talking about the Holy Spirit. One thing you have to remember, and I hope I'm not going off base here, is that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And
yes.
No one brings a gift to a birthday party and that gift is rejected. You got to accept this. Accept this as a gift. The gift was given to you to connect you with Him. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for your sins so that you might be connected back with Him. If you reject the Spirit of God, you have rejected God. It is important for you, with all due diligence, to seek out and receive the Holy Ghost, because it will bring you into all truth.
Yes.
All the truth of God, all the truth that Jesus has for you, all the love, all the guidance. You're wondering why you can't get over that bad temper you have. Well, you need God to get over that bad temper. You're wondering why you just can't love a certain person that has done you wrong. Well, you need God to find that type of love you need to love that person with. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. It brings you into all truth, the truth of love, the truth of guidance, the truth of His word, and the truth of forgiveness. People don't know, but the Holy Ghost will help you to forgive.
Come on.
I just can't forgive him. I just can't forgive. Well, the Holy Ghost will help you to forgive. So I like this subject. It's a very good subject, and I don't want to prolong the time, but I do want to let you know that you are teaching my God something great right now, because everyone get a hold to it, we'll turn this world upside down. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Dodson. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for Pastor Dodson and Minister Phyllis. They both got ordained. Well, Phyllis got ordained last week. I think Pastor Dodson gonna get ordained. I'm so thankful for them. They've been my friends down through the years, and they're people that I go to, and so I'm so thankful for them. And always when they come on and they add to it, they teach, because they teach as well. And so I'm just so thankful for that, and I'm thankful for their word. You got to give the Holy Spirit, and it's a gift. It's a gift. God, He's willing to give it to you. Accept it. And if you don't understand it, begin to ask God. I remember before I got the Holy Ghost, I began to ask God, because you know I came up in the Baptist church, and at that time they didn't teach it. They weren't teaching it like that. And so now, of course, they're more charismatic, and so they're doing so. And so, but they didn't teach it like that at that time. And then I began to be curious, I would say it more so like that. And I began to ask God, and I was going to different services, going to church, and you know, they start talking about the Holy Spirit, and I would be like, well, Lord. And I just began to petition God about it, and God began to reveal it in the Word of God to me. And that's how that got started. That was my journey on that. That began my journey with that. And then, of course, I got the Holy Ghost, and I tell this story all the time when Sister Dodson and Sister Kathy, they were at the altar praying with me. I was just tearing, and I remember them getting upset at the end. They said, she got stammering lips, and they just walked on away. I think about that, I get tickled today, because it was a little while after that, but then I got filled with the Spirit. I was so thankful I got filled with the Spirit, but I remember that day I was down at that altar working. And they was working with me, and they got up and said, she got stammering lips. I mean, I hadn't got it yet, but I was on my way. But anyway, I think about that, I get some tickle. But anyway, I thank God for them and for just for being a part and helping me. And so I'm just so thankful for that. And now I always want to, before I go, and we got a few minutes, I always want to make sure that I don't forget to, because somebody, it might be somebody listening, or if they're listening now, might listen later or what have you, that does not know the Lord in the pardoning of your sins. We gotta remember, salvation is a freeway, And so you got to understand that in Romans 3:23 says everyone has sinned. So everybody sinned. You're not the only sinner. Everybody done sinned. And the penalty for sin was death. But Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took the penalty of death away, and he died for our sins. And so then it says, and then in Romans 10:8, it tells us, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we know that it is because of Christ. But if you don't know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, or if you've fallen away from God and you want to come back to him, and you wasn't at church this morning, or you didn't go down or what have you, but here's another opportunity for you to accept the Lord as your Savior, accept him into your life. This is another opportunity. If you would pray this prayer with me, and you'd be sincere in your heart and giving your life over to the Lord, I believe that you can be saved right here on this broadcast. That's what I believe, even if you listen to it later. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I turn from my way, and I will follow you. I openly admit by my own mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And I believe in my own heart that God, you have raised him from the dead. With my confession and belief in your word, I will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. I accept my salvation from sin right now. I am now saved according to the word of God. Thank you, Father God, for forgiving me, saving me, and giving me eternal life. Now I thank you, God, for your promise that says the Holy Spirit will be with me and in me. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen and amen. Accept the gift of God. Thank you, God, for saving you today. We believe that angels in heaven are rejoicing over that one soul that came to Christ. And I'm going to ask if Pastor Dotson will pray us out. We got like a couple of minutes. And thank God for each and every one that's joined us on the broadcast today. We're going to continue on next week. Thank you all those that called in, logged in, all those that listen on Facebook, and all those that will listen later. God bless you and keep you. And Elder Pastor Dotson is going to pray us out, and then we will be see you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast.
Lord, we thank you, and we bless you, and we praise you for this minister teaching the word of God about the Holy Spirit. We know and we accept it as a revolutionary device that brings forth revelation. We bless you and we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Lord. And we ask that you bless every hearer of your word. Let them receive this word with gladness. And let them show forth the gladness that they receive by sharing it with others. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast. We're going to still be talking about prayer. We're going to be talking about praying in the Spirit, so we're going further. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you all. Amen and amen. Okay.